This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
This is our first year in Masechta Bavakama. I'm learning with my son Moshe. And inviting you to listen in to our learning. We're going to be learning informally, just the way we normally do. Starting with Bavakama. Bavakama means the first gate. And there are three gates into Nezikin, into Seder Nezikin. Bavakama, Bavamitsu, and Bavabasu. So Bavakama really is where the Gemara's discussion of Nezikin really starts. And then, so it's the logical place to begin. Nezikin goes much more than, or much further than, just laws of financial damages between people. It really deals with perhaps some of the most fundamental aspects of relationships between people and between people and their property. I wonder whether one can't even tie a state of Nezikin down to Hillel's statement when the jailer asked Hillel, "You're teaching the whole Torah standing on one foot," and Hillel said, "Don't do to others what you wouldn't want done to yourself." Don't do to others what you wouldn't want done to yourself. So that Hillel was saying that the foundation of the whole Torah is not to cause damage. Don't do to other people what you wouldn't want done to yourself. And Nezikin is that. Nezikin is the damage we could cause to one another. And our responsibilities to one another. And I think as we learn too, we'll find even more foundational principles than that as we begin to unravel it. So we're going to start with the first Mishnah and the Beis Amud Aleph, and just try and make some kind of sense of this. The first Mishnahs of every Masechta are just very full of meaning and are often written and expressed in unusual style that enable us to notice areas that need more expansion and more explanation. So, Moshe starts with the Mishnah, Arba Avos Nezikin. There are four, and we translated Avos, if we want to be really literal, and we should always start with being very literal, and we can always become less literal as we develop our concepts, but right now let's start in the most literal way possible. And so, Arba Avos Nezikin, there are four fathers of damages. And the four are Hashor, Vahabor, Vahamave, Vahahever. Shor is the ox, Bor is the pit. Mave, there's quite a lot of discussion as to what Mave really means. Is it human being who causes damage? Is it an element of the ox's damage? And heather, which is fire. Let's just read through the whole mission and then begin to notice what are the areas in the mission that need to be taken notice of. The first thing the Gemara says is Lo Harei Hashor Kaharei Hamavir. The Mishnah groups together the first and the third of the Nezikin, that is Shor and Mavir, and says that Shor is not like Mavir, the Lo Harei Hamavir Kaharei Hashor, and Mavir is not like Shor. These are different Ovos Nezikin, they are different fathers. They don't share, again, if you use the literal translation, I guess what we would be saying is they don't share DNA. Not two brothers from the same father have certain things in common. But two different fathers have nothing in common. They're from different places, different tribes, different families. So there is no similarity, there's no commonality between Shor and Mave. The law is there, but there. And if we are to group Shor and Mave together, that group has no commonality with Esh. It's true that these two do have something in common. They have Ruach Chaim, they're both alive. Shor and Mave, whatever we're going to translate Mave as, it's something alive. It's either a human being or it's an element of Shor. Either way, Shor and Mave share being alive. So going back again to the father image, that would be like saying two fathers have nothing in common, meaning they have no common DNA, but they are both human beings. They both have two legs. They both have two arms. So Shor and Mother share something very superficial together, which Esh does not. And therefore, even Shor and Mother together do not cover the area that is covered by Esh, because Esh ain bo ruach haim, Esh does not have ruach haim. And if we group all of those three together, we say, well, how about grouping Shor, Mother, and Hever all together? We can group them together and say, the Lord, Zevazer, Shadak, and Lele, Cholahazik, all of them damage in movement. They all move. They don't cause damage if they're stationary. They cause damage when they move. Kahare HaBor, that's unlike the Bor, She'en Zarkal Lele, Cholahazik, which doesn't go and damage in movement. It causes damage in a stationary position. So these four fathers of Mzikin are very different from one another. And even the different sets and subsets that you can make from them still don't cover all the possibilities. You need each of the four categories. Is there anything common about them? Yes, says the Mishnah. As different as they are from one another, there is something common. That is Shadarkon Ba'azik. It is normal for them to damage. It is predictable that they are going to damage. It shouldn't come as a surprise that if you've got a Shor or a Bor or a fire, it's no surprise that this is going to cause damage. Kushmiroson Olecho, and since Darkon Lahazik, since it's predictable that they are going to damage, and you also have a responsibility over them. Now we're going to have to discuss what the nature of that responsibility is. Is it just that you own them? Is it that you cause them? What is the nature of your responsibility? But those are the two facts. It's predictable that they're damaged, and you do have responsibility. And therefore, when any of these cause damage, the mazik, the owner of the nezik, has incurred a debt. That's what chav really means. He's incurred a chiyuv, a chorif. He's incurred a debt to pay the value of the nezik, of the damage, the meitav ha'oris, using the best of his property. He's not going to pay cash, and then he's got to use the best of his property in order to make that payment. That's the Mishnah, and let's notice now some of the things that we might need to comment on. So what are they? What would you say are the things that we've got to strike us as needing to be looked at? And looking at it very freshly, as if we know nothing at all about the Kama, nothing at all about the Zikin, the story. Fresh, what are some of the things that we've got to have a look at? And one of the things is, are they only four? And why are they called fathers? Why that word? Why are they called fathers of damages? In what way are they fathers? And are they really only four? Would be one question that we have to look at. What else do we need to look at?
Obviously, the other stands as a big role, and also whether it's only the if there must only be four, or these four must cover every area.
Why?
Because I'm not the ones who mentioned in the mission.
So from the simple language of the mission, it would seem opening the Bodhikama, the first gateway into the Zikin, we're told there are four obvious Zikin. That seems like an axiom. There are four and no more and no less. That's it. It would appear that there are only four. So let's go with that assumption meanwhile. You'll see as we learn of our style, we make assumptions, and as we go through the Gemara, we sometimes have to modify those assumptions. And that's okay. That's how we evolve our understanding of the sugya. We can't know it all up front. Gemara is an unraveling of the sugya. Gemara is not just a listing of facts. So we must have our assumptions clear, but be ready to move off our assumptions when we find something in the Gemara that causes us to move off. So right now, our assumption is there are only four. What is an av? Let's look at Rashi now. Arba ovis nizikim. Ovis kari lahanach tikhsivim bikro behedye. An av is anything written clearly in the posuk. The Gemara Mefarish Heini who told us. And the Gemara explains, if there is an av, there must be a tolda. A tolda is a generation. Exactly as it's used in the Kumish, Eli Tolders. A Tolders is a generation, which means something that the Av generates. The Av, therefore, is the initiator, is the cause. An Av is not just a head of a category. There's much more life to the idea of an Av. An Av actually generates the Tolder. And the Mishnah makes no mention of the Tolders. Says, Rashi, don't worry, the Gemara will question that and find out what exactly are the Tolders. But what's interesting is that Rashi defines an Av as being those that are given in the sitting, implying that the Tolder is extrapolated from the Poset. An Av is something that is stated, and the Tolder is extrapolated, implying again that an Av can't be extrapolated. And we'll see that further in the Rashi again. But let's note at this point in the Rashi that Rashi is implying that an Av cannot be extrapolated. Ashur v'habo, the Tedeshi and Ksuv in the Parsha, Sidra and the Mishnah. The order of the Mishnah is the way they're written in the Parsha, so there's no conceptual meaning to their order. We can't understand anything about the relationship of these Nezikim to one another from their order. They're simply written in the order in which they appear in the Torah. At the Parsha Rishon in Emor Abishor, Shnei Abavar, the first Parsha of Nezikim, in Shmos Chof Aleph, it talks about Shor, and the second one, in a little bit further in the same parak, talks about Bor and so on. Mave in the Parash Bigmore will explain further on Daf Gimel what Mave means. Hever Kitei Esh, Hever is the fourth of the Nezikin, and that refers to Esh, which in the Torah is in the following chapter in Parak of Beis and Shmos. The shor has nothing in common with mave. Kolomer, says Rashi, what that means is that he kosov rachmona shor v'nafik mave minei. If the Torah would only have given us shor, we could not possibly have learned mave from shor. So not only can these four Nezikin must be extrapolated from nothing, they can't even be extrapolated from one another. If we were given Shor, we would not know anything about the others. We would not know about Mavi. V'amatu l'hachi yisrichi l'mikhtav, and that's why they have to be written down in the Pasuk. The Torah has to write each one of them, because the others couldn't be learned without us. L'hachi nosek b'reisha k'harei ha-mavi, v'lo nachat l'hu t'seder asks Rashi, if the order of the Mishnah is the order in which they appear in the Pasuk, then why, when we start the Lo Harei's, when we start the analysis of establishing the absence of commonality, asks Rashi, why don't we go in the same order and say Lo Harei Ashor, Kare Abor, Lo Harei Abor, Kare Ashor, Lo Harei Shei, and the two of them aren't like Mave, and the three of them aren't like Hever. Why can't we adopt that order? Between the two law harimatsi lumitni law zebazeshbun ruachayim. Because in the law haray discussion we're classifying them conceptually. So there are two distinct orders here. The first order in the first line of the Mishnah is simply the order in which they come in the Chumash. And what's important to us in that is the Mishnah is indicating to us that the Chumash is the source. There is no other source for these Nezikim. That's why it gives it to us in that order. The four obvious Nezikim is the first one mentioned in Torah. Sure. The second one mentioned in Torah, Bor. The third one mentioned in Torah, Mavi. The fourth one mentioned in Torah, Hever. So we're getting the sense from that first line of the Mishnah that what makes them an Av is that they're mentioned in the Torah, and that without that we wouldn't have been able to work anything out. Now, the Lo Harei discussion in the second line of the Mishnah starts dealing with them conceptually. Which ones can be categorized in a set together? Which ones cannot? What is common in the one set that the other set doesn't have, and so on? And in the building of that pyramid of commonality, we start with Shor and Mavi because they were two with Ruachayim. That's the common denominator. So we group Shor and Mavi together because they've got Ruachayim. The whole Bor in Ruachayim because Bor doesn't have Ruachayim. So if we were to group Shor and Bor together, there would be absolutely no common denominator. So we start with the ones that have some common denominator. Shor and Bor, Shor and Mave have a common denominator, Ruach Chaim. And then we move from there and say, yes, and the two of them are unlike Heather because Shur and Mave are unlike Esh, because Esh doesn't have Ruach HaChayim.
Or everything else.
Or anything else. And even those three, which is Dayak and Elek HaLafik, are unlike Bor.
And all of them have a common
denominator. Yes, they all have a common denominator of Dalton Lahazik, Shmirosan Alecho, and therefore Hashemizik Kavah Mazik Hashem. Void Pamachina, the whole of Vusa Ashminim, and the second thing he has is Rashi, is it comes to tell us a Kiddush. The second classification of the Ovis, the way the Mishnah does it in the second line, teaches us a Kiddush. What's that? Even though Shor and Mavet both have Ruach Chaim, they can't be learned from one another. So all the others are excluded. In other words, Shor and Mavet have Ruach Chaim, but Hever and Bor do not. Shor, Mavet, and Hever have Dark and Leris Velahazik, but Bor does not. Only Shor and Mavet share the same quality, and yet cannot be learned even from one another. The Gemara Mefarish, Ma'elo HaRedik Ona. And the Gemara will get into a much deeper analysis of what this means, this absence of commonality, and why one cannot be learned from the other. But what Rashi is clearly teaching us is that there is no way we could have known Shor, Bor, Mave, or Hever unless we're written in the Pasuk. And that's a difficult thing for us to understand. Why is that a difficult thing for us to understand?
It is non-logical.
If we didn't try that, we wouldn't. If a Torah hadn't told us that if my ox damages your property, I am responsible, that we wouldn't have known that. Even though it's one of the Shiva mitzvahs for them in life, that you've got to establish laws. Surely, in every society, there are laws that govern a man's damage to another human being and the damage of his property to another human being's property. Is Rashi suggesting that we would not know that there was any chiyuv nezikin if the Torah didn't tell? Is it the gleras hakrosuv? Is that what he's telling us? This is the gleras hakrosuv. Nezikin is gleras hakrosuv. Once we have these four, we can extrapolate the rest. But if we didn't have these four, we wouldn't know them. They're gleras hakrosuv. That's what Rashi seems to be saying.
That's how they're obvious. Otherwise, everything would be equal.
And that's why they're obvious. That's what it means by an av. An av is the initiation of an idea that we would otherwise not have known. And that's, we don't yet understand that, but...
Or you could say that it's not the mind that is damaged.
So you want to say that one of the possibilities that we might have thought, that I can say that the fact that my ox damaged your ox, that's for sure. That's Hashkocha. I didn't see the ox doesn't have the hero. So the ox can't be held responsible.
And one of the four of us is an Adam.
And according to most people, one of the of us is not Adam. So let's assume at this point that all the others were talking about Mama and Hamazik, about my property. I, the Mazik, could say, you know what, if my ox damaged your ox, or if your ox fell into my pit, or if my fire happened to travel and burn down your house, I'm very sorry about it, but it wasn't my doing.
Okay.
That's Chazok. It's an act of that Hashkocha. It's an act of God, and I'm not responsible. No, but for the Torah comes to teach us, since it was predictable that this damage could have taken place, Alchon Lahazik, and Shmirotam Alecho, and I have an obligation to guard it. My absence, my lack of guarding that, made it my act of choice. So as a Mazik, I am responsible. I did make a choice. My choice was to be careless. My choice was not to guard the shore or the bore or the edge properly. And the result of that was that it damaged, and therefore, even though it might be Bashir that you didn't have to suffer that damage, but I'm still responsible for the damage and have to pay for the damage. And I can't blame it on some other fault. But Kampa, quite interestingly, a Gori who doesn't have the understanding, the concept of Ashkocha, for him it's rational. If what we've just suggested is right, if the suggestion of yours is correct, that the reason that Rashi says that the gross of Kosev is not because I couldn't figure out that there's a damage that occurred, but I might be able to blame it on Ashkocha and say it wasn't my free choice. As the owner of the property, as the human being involved, I didn't damage you. My ox damaged you, and he didn't choose to damage you, so Hashem must have wanted it. That's only we could say that, and that's why we need Tzukim, because we have Hashgacha, the concept of Hashgacha processes, something that applies to Jews. But that one-on-one Hashgacha that the Jews have, others do not have. We want to show them the Hashgacha on the species, the Hashgacha on nations, but not on individuals to the same degree, and therefore, it's quite possible that a goy, I might have thought that a goy, there would be laws of damages. They would legislate their own laws of damages. There's no reason why not. But a Jew maybe wouldn't have laws of damages. No, they wouldn't have. Others, they would just have plain laws of damages. But a Jew is different. A Jew might be able to argue, we believe in Hashgacha Pratis. We believe that Hashem watches over each individual and makes and whatever happens to us is directed by the Ribono Shel Olam, and therefore we might think that if the Torah didn't tell us that the owner of these mazikim is responsible for the damage, we might have been able to blame it on Hashgacha and say that it wasn't there would be a punishment in Shemayim maybe that Beis Din can't be mechayev me. Most of the Mishnah, when one of my mazikim, shora, bora, mave, or hever causes damage, Tav Hamazik, with a Shehizik, Tav Hamazik, a debt has been incurred, and I have to pay, I'm responsible, I have to pay. That's what we learn from these Sukkim, and there are four different places where we learn this from, because they're four different categories of Mazikim.